Next month, Donald Trump will be sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. With Republicans controlling Congress, President Trump will come into office with a lot of power on his side, but not limitless power. The legal checks on what a president can and can't do are the subject of a new course at the University of Washington next month. Law professor Catherine Watts is the co-creator of the course. She says it came about in response to Trump's election, but questions about presidential power are always relevant.
These sorts of questions that our students are asking right now and that people across the country are asking right now about presidential power are questions that our nation has asked over and over again in the past when we've seen presidential transitions. So now just happens to be the moment where there's quite a lot of eyes, both within the law school and the broader community, on the issue of presidential power. So this is a wonderful moment for us, a teaching moment for us, to be able to leverage our students' interests in learning more about presidential power and have that play off of the currency of the topic and different issues that are unfolding in the news.
And it was, in fact, students that prompted this class, correct?
Yes, it was. It was students that were asking in the wake of the election. They were reading about what the presidential transition might or might not be, and they had many different questions about what a president really can or can't do. And as law students, they felt that they ought to be better educated about the reach of presidential power.
A lot of people are concerned about a Trump presidency and what his policies might mean for us here in the Puget Sound region. What is the biggest misconception, in your view, about what Trump can do as president?
I think the biggest misconception might be an overinflation of the president's powers. One thing that our framers did very wisely when they structured our government is they created a system of checks and balances, and they created a tripartite government system that divides our power and doesn't just give it to a president, but gives it to a president, into the courts, and to Congress. And so in discussing and thinking about and in some instances worrying about what a president might or might not do, I think missing often from that discussion is the broader understanding that a president can only do so much on his own. Many things that a president wants to do, the president needs to involve Congress, or the president's actions will be checked by the courts. So understanding that the president is just one very important person, absolutely important, but just one piece of our broader governmental system.
Trump has been fairly vocal about his opposition to recreational marijuana. What could that mean for us in a state like Washington, where we have recreational use, but it remains federally illegal?
That's an interesting area to think about the possible implications of a Trump administration, because in the marijuana arena, what the federal government has done under prior administrations is to effectively issue non-enforcement policies, policies that say that the federal government will not enforce the federal laws, the Federal Controlled Substances Act laws with respect to marijuana in certain states, like Washington State, that have legalized marijuana where certain circumstances are met. And those sorts of non-enforcement policies, they are not law in the sense that they are not passed by Congress. They didn't go through some kind of lengthy regulatory process, notice and comment process. Rather, it's simply an enforcement policy or non-enforcement policy that's set at the president's discretion. So those sorts of policy are particularly vulnerable to a new president being able to do away with those sorts of non-enforcement policies or significantly alter or change those non-enforcement policies. In contrast, there's other areas like environmental protection where unrolling various regulations that are on the books that, for example, protect the environment, the president would have to involve other actors or invoke lengthy regulatory processes in order to affect change in those arenas.
Another thing Trump talked a lot about was his stance on immigration. Could he crack down on Seattle for being a sanctuary city?
So that's something that our immigration expert, Angelica Chisaro, will come in and talk with the class about, and she can talk more to the sanctuary city issue than I can. But in terms of the president's general powers in the immigration arena, that's another example of an area where the president does have a significant amount of discretion, particularly in dictating enforcement priorities or setting enforcement priorities in the immigration arena. the DACA and the DAPA policies involving deferred action for childhood arrivals and parental arrivals. Those also are examples of policies that were set via memo, so not via a law passed by Congress, not via a notice and comment rule that went through the regulatory process, but via an executive memo. So that's the type of memo that a President Trump can simply order his officials to do away with when he enters the presidency.
What are you hoping the impact of this class will be, Professor Watts?
We're hoping to have our students walk away feeling that they better understand how our government operates. Civics is something that we think is critical for all Americans, but particularly for law students. Our law students find that their friends, their family, community members, they turn to them because they're in law school, and they ask them questions about how government works and how presidential power operates and what its limits are. And we hope that our students walk out of the class feeling better equipped to be active and engaged participants in the government system, to be better equipped to assess the legality of different sorts of government actions. And we also hope to teach them about different legal tools for participating in policy debates that occur during times of presidential transition, so that they walk out of the course feeling that they better understand different mechanisms for participating in government and for voicing their views.
Catherine Watts is a professor at the University of Washington School of Law. She's the co-creator of a new course looking at presidential power. That course begins in January. Within a day of opening it up to students, it already had a wait list. This is The Record.